This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and my friend, today I want to talk to you about something that most people don't teach about. What will your resurrection body be like? You know, most people don't like to think about death, but if Jesus does not come in our lifetime, death is in front of all of us. You know, Dr. Bennett, who trained me in the ministry, he always used to say to people, remember, there's a funeral in your future. And no one liked it when he said that. But you know, it's very sobering, and it's very good for us to realize that life is very limited. Just yesterday, I was talking to one of my associates about life. And I said to him, I intend to work at least robustly another 25 years. So he pulled out his calendar and he began to figure out what is 25 years. Well, 25 years is 1,300 weeks or 300 months. Well, when you put it in that perspective, it sounds pretty brief, 300 months. And I said to him, I really want to make sure that I take good advantage of my life and that I'm useful to the very end. But the truth is, if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, there really is a funeral in my future and in your future as well. That's just a part of life. But beyond the funeral, when Jesus comes and he shouts with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. But the first to be raised will be the dead in Christ. So if you've died before the rapture of the church, you're going to be the first to be raised on that glorious day. And today we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to see what kind of body we're going to have when we're raised from the dead, and it's really going to be good. But hey, I want you to order the whole series, which is called The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation. It comes with a study guide. And please be sure to order the book as well. This book is so amazing. The foreword is written by my friend Jimmy Evans. And again, the book is called The Rapture, The Antichrist, The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. The Bible is so clear about future events, and there's no need for you or anybody else to be afraid of the future, because the Bible gives us clear answers about what is coming. And I wrote this book to help you to dispel fear and to really put faith in your heart for what is coming. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And when you reach out to us, would you please let us know how to pray for you? We're waiting to pray for you. We want to pray for you right now. Just call the number that is on the screen and write it down so you always have that number nearby. And when you need prayer, you can call that number or you can call it right now. We'll answer it. We will pray with you. Or sometimes people prefer to write an email. So send us an email. And when it shows up in the inbox, likewise, we're going to begin to pray for you. And Jesus is going to do exactly what needs to be done. Say amen. I believe it. But hey, today I want to return to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and verse 52, where Paul is writing about the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church. And he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, which means there really is one generation who is going to escape death, those that are alive at the time of the rapture of the church. And then he says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, we covered this in the last program. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we, that is we that are alive at that time, we shall be changed. My friend, it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Suddenly, God's power is going to touch those that are living, and they are going to be miraculously transformed, altered. They're going to receive new bodies that are like His glorious body. That's what we read in Philippians chapter 3. But first, those that have died in faith, they're going to be raised. And when they're raised, their resurrection body is going to be reunited with their spirits. My goodness, it is going to be such an amazing moment. And my friends, this is not a fantasy. This is one of the clearest teachings in the New Testament. Now, I want you to reach for your Bible. And today we're going to begin at Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read verse 20 and a part of verse 21 to you again. And it says, "For our conversation is in heaven." That means our real life, it's in heaven. That's our destiny. "From whence also we look for the Savior." We're looking for Jesus. And this word "look" means to really anticipate, to be on edge, really anticipating the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, "who shall change our vile body." The human body is made in the image of God, but in its current state, even if you have the best body on earth, it is vile. It is death-dominated. Eventually, it falls apart. It disintegrates. It's a vile body, but it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, which means in the resurrection of the dead, in the rapture of the church, our bodies are going to be changed to be like Jesus' glorious body. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44, where Paul talks about the human body being buried and being raised. And when you come to these verses, Paul wrote very descriptively about the human body being buried and what will happen in the resurrection. And he says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead." Speaking of the human body, "it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And in these verses, Paul uses two words, each of these words four times. He uses the word "sown" four times. Sown, 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 sown. He uses the word "raised" four times. Raised, 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 raised. So these are very important words. And I want us to really look at these verses so we understand what the Bible teaches about those that have died in faith and what's going to happen to them in the resurrection. And first of all, Paul says that their body is sown in corruption. This word "sown" is the Greek word "spira," and it denotes the sowing of seed for a future harvest. And this is important because when a farmer plants a seed, he does so with faith that one day that seed is going to come forth in a different form than the one in which he planted it. And here we have imagery to say our body is going to be sown into the earth in one form, but it's going to be raised miraculously in a different form. And he says that when we die, we're sown in corruption. And the word "corruption" is the same word we've seen in previous programs, which denotes that which is decaying, that which is death-dominated, that which is rotting. That's the human body in the grave. But Paul says it will be raised in incorruption. And the word "raised," now listen to this, the Greek word "egairo," and Paul repeats it four times in these verses, it means to awaken, to arise, to be resurrected, and it is the very word which was used in New Testament times to denote the arising of royalty. My friends, you're going to be buried one way, but when you're raised from the dead, you're going to be raised as the real VIP you are in the mind of God. You're going to be raised to a royal status so very different than how you were planted into the earth. In fact, Paul goes on to say, you're going to be raised in incorruption. Incorruption. That's how we're going to come forth from the grave. We're going to be sown in corruption, but we're going to be raised in incorruption. And the word "incorruption" is the Greek word which depicts that which is incapable of decay or incapable of suffering the effects of wear, tear, and age. And this is why I said in a previous program that in the resurrection and in the rapture of the church, it's going to be the ultimate facelift, because we're all going to receive transformed bodies that no longer will ever again show the effects of wear, tear, and age. We're supernaturally going to be raised incorruptible. But then he goes on in verse 53 and says again, we're sown in dishonor. And the word sown again is the Greek word spira, which depicts the sowing of seed for a future harvest. So again and again and again, Paul repeats this word to let us know the grave is not the end. We're going to be raised. And he reminds us that we're not going to remain in the condition in which we were planted, but we're going to be raised in a completely different way. But when we're buried, he says we're sown in dishonor. And this word dishonor pictures that which is dishonorable. You know, when I was a boy, my first job was in a cemetery, and I became very familiar with the fact that the human body very quickly decays. And here the Apostle Paul says, we're sown in dishonor, and it pictures a heap of human decay, and that's what we are naturally when we are buried. But he says we're going to be raised in glory. And the word raised again is the Greek word egeiro, which means to awaken, to arise, to be resurrected. And it is the word that was used in New Testament times to depict the arising of royalty. That's how we're going to come out of the grave. And in fact, Paul went on to say, we're going to be raised in glory. Glory. What a difference. And the word glory is from the Greek word doxos, a form of it. And it depicts that which is glorious, luminous, resplendent. It is the same word used in Scripture to describe the glory of God. That is how we're going to be raised from the dead. So according to Paul, in our newly resurrected royal status, our bodies will be raised by the power of God, and we will be glorious, resplendent, luminous. But then Paul goes on to say, we're sown in weakness. And the word sown, again, is the Greek word spira, which denotes the sowing of seed for a future harvest. Paul is trying to drive this into our hearts that when a Christian dies, when an authentic believer is buried, that is not the end. Eventually, he's going to come forth. He's just a seed that has been sown. And this must have been very encouraging, especially when Paul was writing, because so many believers were dying for their faith and they needed to be reminded it was not the end. They were just being planted for a future harvest. And in fact, Paul says we're sown, we're buried in weakness. And the word weakness is the Greek word asthenia, which describes fragility or weakness of any kind. And here Paul tells us that man, even at his very, very best, is fragile, he is temporal, and he is weak. Now, when you're younger, you don't really realize that. But as you begin to get older, you begin to understand that your body is fragile. Your body really is temporal, and your body really is weak. But Paul says it's going to be raised in power. And the word raised, again, the Greek word egeiro, the same word. Here, Paul is repeating this word over and over and over to say, our bodies are going to be awakened, they're going to arise, they're going to be resurrected. And again, it is the word which was used in New Testament times to depict the rising of royalty. We're going to come out of the grave as the kings that we really are. On the day of the resurrection, the dead bodies of the righteous will supernaturally come forth. We're going to emerge from our burial places as the royalty God knows us to be. And Paul says we're going to come forth in power. And the word power is the Greek word dunamis, which describes explosive, superhuman power that comes with enormous energy and produces phenomenal, extraordinary, and unparalleled results. This is the kind of power we're going to be raised in. It is the same Greek word which depicts mighty deeds that are impressive, incomparable, and beyond human ability to perform. And in the New Testament, this word dunamis is associated with miraculous powers, miraculous powers. And by using this word, Paul tells us, he makes it clear that God's power will be the source of our resurrection. And we're going to come forth transformed, glorious, luminous, resplendent in a brand new royal state. That is the teaching of Scripture. And then he goes on to say, we're sown a natural body. And again, the word sown is the Greek word spirit. Here, Paul repeats it again and again and again, trying to help us to understand death is not the end. We're just a seed that's being planted, but we're going to be raised. And the word sown again depicts the sowing of seed for a future harvest. So a final time in this entire text, Paul uses the word sown to remind us that if we die before the rapture, death is not the end. We're going to be raised in a different form. But he says we're sown natural. The word natural, the Greek word psychikos, which describes that which is natural as opposed to that which is spiritual. And here we find that even the best among men are simply natural, physical, mortal beings. But we're going to be raised, that is, if you're an authentic believer. And the word raised, again, the Greek word ikairo, which means to awaken, to arise, to be resurrected. And it is the word used in New Testament times to denote the arising of royalty. He says we're going to be raised spiritual. But over and over and over in this text, Paul repeated the same Greek word ikairo, translated raised, to make us understand that even if we die before the rapture, we are not going to remain in the earth. A moment is going to come, and the moment is when Jesus descends into the lower atmosphere with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. In that moment, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And when they come forth, they're going to come forth as the royalty that God sees them to be. And Paul says they will be raised spiritual, the Greek word which denotes that which is spiritual as opposed to that which is natural. We're going to come forth in a brand new spiritual state. Now, what will be the characteristics of our resurrection body? Well, let's go back to Philippians 3, verse 20 and part of verse 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So whatever kind of body Jesus had after He was raised from the dead, that's the kind of body that we're going to have. And when you go through the New Testament, we find the characteristics of Jesus' resurrection body. For example, in Luke chapter 24, we find that in His resurrected body, Jesus' physical appearance was so transformed that at first the disciples did not quickly recognize Him. We find in John chapter 21 that in Jesus' resurrected body, He was also able to eat, which means we're going to be able to eat. We read in John chapter 20 that in His resurrected body, Jesus was able to pass through solid matter. He passed through the doors or the walls of a house and entered into the room where the disciples was. We read in Luke chapter 24 that in His resurrected body, Jesus was capable of being handled and touched. So you can handle and you can touch a resurrection body. We find in Luke chapter 24 that in His resurrection body, Jesus was able to appear and to disappear. The resurrection body loses its limitations. We find in Luke chapter 24 that in His resurrected body, Jesus could travel vast distances very, very quickly. And finally, in John chapter 20, we find that in His resurrected body, Jesus could ascend to heaven and descend back to the earth. My friends, the resurrected body is a completely different kind of body than the one that we have right now. And if we want to know what kind of body we're going to have in the resurrection, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says it's going to be like His glorious resurrected body. So we can know that in the resurrection, our bodies are going to be completely different, just as Jesus' resurrected, glorified body had been changed. We know that we'll be able to eat, just as Jesus was able to eat. We know that we'll be able to pass through solid matter, just as Jesus was able to do. We know that in our resurrected body, we'll be able to appear and disappear and travel vast differences. And we know that in our resurrection body, we'll be able to travel through different realms, from heaven to earth and back to earth, just like Jesus was able to do in His resurrected body. My friends, what is in front of us is far greater than what we have right now. And if you're an authentic believer, there is no reason to have fear of death. There's no reason to have fear of death, because the day is coming when the dead are going to respond to the voice of Christ. and they're going to come forth. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5, the wicked will be separated to judgment and the righteous to everlasting life. And when we come forth from the grave, at that moment, when Jesus descends into the lower atmosphere with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the blast of the trumpet, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. But the dead are going to be raised first. And the word first, which we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is the Greek word proton, which means as a matter of priority in a sequence of events, they are going to be raised first, and then immediately after that, those which are alive and remain will be caught up into the air with them to meet the Lord in the air. That is our future. So if you die before the rapture, you're going to be raised first. If you're alive when the rapture takes place, you're going to be changed and caught up into the air to meet the Lord with them. My friends, this is the clear teaching of Scripture. But hey, when we come back in the next program, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to see a warning that the Apostle Paul gave us about what kinds of teaching we listen to about the last days. We need to be very careful about what we're hearing and what we're taking into our eyes. But I'll be back in just a moment, and then I'm going to pray for you. Someone has asked a very good question. How do I pray correctly so that I know God really hears my prayers? Well, the answer is found in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, and it says, "And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Well, His will is His Word. God does exactly what He has said in the Word of God. So if you pray scripturally, or if you pray according to the Word of God, this verse absolutely proclaims God hears our prayers. And verse 15 says, "And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So if you want God to hear your prayers and respond, then you have to pray His will, or you have to pray His Word, or scripturally. When you pray scripturally, it opens the ears of God, and if God hears us, then we can be sure we have the petitions that we've made of Him.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead, comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and right now I'm standing in the reception area of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and this building is just so wonderful. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And I know that is our assignment. God has called us to feed many people the trusted teaching of the Bible. And together with you and all of our partners, we really are taking the trusted teaching of the Word of God to the very ends of the earth.
But this is the reception part of the Tulsa building, and every day, thousands of phone calls come into this facility from people that are watching the program and who are reaching out for prayer. Right now, we've paid off about 78% of this facility, and that is just wonderful. But now we need to knock it out of the ballpark. We need to finish this, because when we're finished paying off this facility, that frees up finances so we can take the teaching of the Bible to more places across the face of the earth where people are crying out for someone to feed them the Word of God. And so today, if you're not already a part of our giving team to pay off this facility, I'm asking you to join us as a part of our ministry expansion project to pay off this facility, and we can say done, finished, and give glory to God. But my friends, we can only do it with your help. So thank you. If you're already a part of the team, and if not yet part of the team, please join us as a part of the giving team to pay off this facility so we can be finished with it and use these funds to take the gospel further to other places across the world.
Well, today we have covered a lot of material about the resurrection. And my friends, if you die before Jesus comes, you're going to be raised from the dead. Your destiny is not the grave. You're just planted like a seed. You're sown, but a day is coming when you're going to be raised. And when you're raised, you're going to be raised as the VIP royalty that Jesus sees you to be. That is your future. And if you're alive when He comes, then you're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But all of this is in the new series called The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation. It comes with a study guide. Please order these. You need to know what the Bible says on these very important subjects. And I really want you to have the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. Please order yours now. And you can order all these things by going online right now, or just give us a call. And please remember, we want to pray for you. Whether you order anything or not, we're waiting for the phone to ring so we can pray for you. We'll release our faith, and Jesus will do something wonderful for you. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we can be established in truth, that the grave is not the end. One of these days, those that have died in faith are going to be raised, and those of us that are alive when you come, we're going to be caught up to meet them with you in the air. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in the next program. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-Called Partners of Renner Ministries.